Can you guys hear me all right? So just make sure we are all in the right place. This is what devs should know about troubleshooting identity scenarios for Azure Active Directory. So when you have problems with authentication, authorization, you don't know what to do, you're in the right place. This is where we're going to discuss about it. And the rationale for this presentation is that whenever developers are building applications for the cloud and they have some identity scenarios, eventually you're going to hit a problem. Eventually you're going to have some misconfiguration somewhere, some problem in your code, something's not working. And very, very often, way more often than we would hope, people see that error message and they don't know how to go from there to understanding what's broken, diagnosing, and fixing it. And that's a terrible experience, right? Because the worst thing for developers is feeling helpless, like I can't solve this myself. And what's even more interesting is when we sit with those guys and walk with them through how we troubleshoot this and how we find the problem, the reaction is always something like, wow, I had no idea it was that simple. How could I not see that? So obviously, this is not rocket science. It's something that everybody can do. But something there is not working when these problems happen. And I think there are two parts of the solution to this bad experience. One part is there are lots of improvements that are happening right now as we speak in the product. The product teams are doing a bunch of improvements in the user experience, the way you register an app, the error messages, documentation, tooling, all of this is happening right now and will get better. But no matter how better that gets, I believe there are certain foundational knowledge areas that every developer who is working on cloud applications should have, because that will empower people to just they face a problem like this and they don't feel completely lost. They know how to navigate that problem. And this is not just Microsoft. I think those protocols are everywhere. So a lot of what we're going to talk about here applies to pretty much wherever you go and deal with cloud identity protocols in general. Okay? So the way we organize this presentation, remember to send your evaluation later. We collected, for the past year, we collected the most common questions developers bring to us. Like, I don't know how to do this. I don't know where to go to do this, right? And we broke it down into levels. So I will start with some basic concepts. This is not a tutorial presentation. I'm not going to walk how to build an application for Xero and wire up with Azure AD. Vittorio Bertocci is doing two presentations. There's one after lunch where he's going to do that. He's going to walk and build applications and show how to do it. I'm not going there. But I just want to make sure we're all at the same page in some basic things before I start talking about questions and answers and troubleshooting. Then we have level one, frequently asked questions about very basic stuff, like, for example, I don't even know where to go to find code samples, right? Let's talk about it. It'll be brief. Then we switch to level two questions, which is a little bit on the how-to. I selected a couple of questions that are very common questions that developers usually go the wrong way instead of going the right way. So I want to show what's the wrong way, what's the right way, and why. Then the fun starts where I have a dozen plus broken apps right now here that I will go and fix one by one with you guys. That's the real troubleshooting part of it. And level four is still on the troubleshooting, but the more advanced scenarios where people really feel lost, they don't know what to do, and I want to show those things are not as hard as they initially look. So it's a very fast-paced presentation. I think I have about 60 or some slides here. So it will be interesting, and I promise it will be a lot of useful info that you guys can take away from there. So let's start with a very brief history of authentication. For many, many years, the way applications solved the authentication problem was just putting username and password text boxes in a form, right? You type your credentials and some custom goo happens behind the scenes. I'll take those username and passwords and do something to validate that. But the problem is what happens behind the scenes, because the way these applications work requires the code to have access to your username and password. At that point, there is no control over what happens with our credentials anymore. Like, we cannot make any guarantees, because who knows what the code is deciding to do here, right? Anything could happen. For example, a developer might think that it might be a good idea to go and cache your credentials into some custom database, right? Unencrypted, unprotected. And we all know what happens after that, right? We have stories and stories about companies that really have the entire IP, the entire business jeopardized because there was a list of username and passwords unencrypted somewhere. So we can't control that if we have these username and password boxes there. We need to get rid of them. And it's the common agreement among most cloud providers that we remove those things and we put a browser there. And the browser, and if it's a web application, it's even simpler. The browser goes to Azure AD and says, I want to authenticate this user, right? I send a HTTP request and say, I want to log on this user. I'm the application blah. And AD responds saying, OK, here's the login form for that user, right? The user types the username and password, and this is protected from the application code. There's no way the application code can actually go and read this username and password. So it's a far more secure thing. Like we are outsourcing the authentication job to somewhere we trust and removing that problem from the application itself, right? We submit that username and password back to Azure AD. There will be a bunch of steps there, validating, consenting, and then eventually I'll get an authorization code back. And this part of HTTP 302 is a redirect, right? And it's saying, okay, here's your authorization code, right? I'm telling you I'm happy with whoever this user is. You can close your login form, and let's move on. And then with this authorization code, the application can go and request access tokens for specific resources. Give me an access tokens for SharePoint Online. Give me an access token for Exchange Online, for your secure web service, and so on, right? That's how we do about the authorization part of it. And this is the basics of OAuth. Basically, that's what OAuth is, right? It's not very different than any other platform. It's a simple protocol. And the reason why I'm showing this little dance of requests and responses is that most of what I'll be talking about moving forward in terms of problems and solutions has to do with something around one of these steps, right? One of these steps is not working the way it should. So having this picture in your mind is 80% of the job in terms of troubleshooting it, right? Some important takeaways are, for the same reason you don't send an email with your username and password, because you can't control what is going to happen there, you shouldn't put your username and password in some custom text box, in some custom app that you don't even know who built it, right? Because there's no way you can control what happens there. And knowing this sequence of HTTP requests is most of what you need to figure out what's broken and how to fix it. Another interesting thing is Fiddler is your best friend there when it comes to troubleshooting. Fiddler is great, or F12 in your browser, network, great ways of detecting what's broken. But be careful, right? If you're going to ask for help in a public forum and you paste your Fiddler logs there, remember that was captured during your logon process. Your username and password are there, right? So think about it, which username and password you're using, how many people will be reading that thing, do you know them, do you know what they can do with it? So remember, that's a lot of sensitive information that you are capturing that in that Fiddler log, right? So let's start with the level one questions. So level one questions, there we go, level one questions. Where do I find good code samples for Azure AD? So we embrace GitHub. GitHub is becoming the place where Microsoft really publishes all source code we can get. It just makes sense. We get great feedback from developers. We interact with them. We receive contributions. It's just great. And Azure AD has a proper area for samples. And it's just great. Like, for example, instead of going and creating a new ASP.NET application from zero, adding the right NuGet packages, adding the right configuration, and then coding my application, I just go there, search for ASP.NET Web API, OpenID Connect. There's already an application with the right NuGet packages. I just download that, make my configurations, and I'm done. So it's even faster than creating an application from zero. And one of the cool things is if you, in most of those samples, when you scroll down to the README page in GitHub, they tell you how they got to that point. Like, these are the steps we went in Visual Studio from zero to get to the sample we have here. So you can follow the same steps and do that in your app. So it's a great, great way of learning how things get done. Super common question. How do I link my Office 365 directory with my Azure AD directory? Whenever you have an Office 365 subscription, your users are already saved in Azure AD. There's an Azure AD there. We just don't make it so obvious, but it is there. So assume your company already has Office 365, and now you go and sign up for Azure. And those are different things. They don't see each other. They don't know each other. How can you tell Azure you already have this directory and you want to use it and see it over Azure? What you need first is a Microsoft account. You need an Outlook.com, Windows Live, an account that is set as an administrator for your Azure subscription. You have to log on with that account. You cannot log on with an Org ID account. Otherwise, this feature won't show up. But you log on with a Microsoft account. You go to Azure AD and say, I want to create a new directory. And then you have an option, which is use existing directory, right? Use an existing directory. When you choose that option, what Azure will do is it will log you off from the portal, and then you ask you to log in with whatever is the manager account from that directory you're trying to add, right? You have to prove you own that thing. It's yours. So you log off and then log on with the admin from that directory. Then the link is done. Then you can go back to Azure AD, to Azure portal, and you see your new directory created, right? This is where you see your list of directories. This is your new directory. And you can see your Office applications here, just like you can create your custom applications. The Office applications are there too. So now you can do cool things like, for example, an application that can authenticate your user and then go talk to OneDrive for Business on behalf of that user, go talk to Exchange Online on behalf of that user, to your custom web service. AD becomes that glue that connects all these building blocks together. It's a fundamental part of this ecosystem. And that's how you bind both into a single Azure subscription. And you can do that in multiple subscriptions. At Microsoft, we have thousands of Azure subscriptions. They all can look at our Microsoft.com directory. Like, we can all go there and see the applications there. So level two questions. How do I do stuff? Let's see. So I need to create a background task that will access calendars and Exchange Online. So background tasks, it means there is no UI. There is no UI. How am I going to log on a user if I don't have the web browser with the username and password so we can do everything I showed before? Well, the answer is we are not logging in a user. We are logging in an application. So the application itself, it will authenticate itself, right, with the application we call App ID, the application identity. And this application will have special privileges that are different than a user privilege. So for example, a user can authorize an application to work on behalf of that user, which is what we call delegated permissions. When you look at Azure AD, you see delegated permissions here. So those are the permissions. I, user, allow this app to go to my inbox in Exchange Online on my behalf. That's me, right? But we have the application level permissions where we say, well, this application will have permissions to read all the calendars in my organization. They're very special privileges. And the way the application, so the application has to prove itself, I am really this application that's supposed to have these permissions. This is done via a certificate. So the application is configured with a certificate and goes to AD and proves itself as an application. Then it gets an access token like access tokens for users, and you can go talk to the same services, the same things you would talk normally as a user-based application. And that's how you make it work, and can even work across directories, you can have multi-tenant apps. That's why I'm talking about it, it's because very often, the way developers try to solve this problem is putting a username, user interface, authenticate the user, grab the access token, save it in some database, and try to keep refreshing background. Don't ever do that. That's going to break. That's insecure. That's just don't do that, right? There are proper ways of doing this without capturing custom access tokens and doing some fancy custom thing to try to keep them alive. That doesn't work, right? Which library should I use to authenticate Star with Azure AD? Here's a simple rule. If you have a native, if you have a client application of any kind and you need to show that logon UI, usually the right way of doing this is using Azure Active Directory Authentication Library, right? We have it for iOS, Android, Windows, JavaScript, you name it. We have it for a bunch of platforms. Super easy. It does a whole lot of stuff for you that you don't have to worry about it. Refreshing tokens, knowing caching tokens so you don't have to go every single time to Azure AD to grab a token. Super easy to use, three lines of code and you're done. So that's the library we usually pick for the UI-based login for the user to authenticate that. If you're on the server side, if you're in your web API and you need to validate an access token, so the client is calling you, is given an access token, you need to make sure this access token is valid. There are many different ways you can do this. In ASP.NET, my favorite way is using OWIN. You pick OWIN, and my favorite protocol would be OpenID Connect because it's just so much easier. It's like OAuth with a bunch of standards on top of it. So it makes it so much easier to set it up. So that would take care of validating tokens, make sure they're okay, and letting them go on. If from your web service, now you need to go talk to OneDrive for Business. Now you need an access token for OneDrive for Business. Then I'm going to use Adele again. I'm going to say, well, I just got this call from the client. I have this access token. I need to exchange that for another access token that lets me talk to OneDrive for Business. So Adele will do that request tokens for you. If you are on any platform that we, for some reason, don't have a library for you, go to this URL, look at the protocols we support, right? OpenID Connect, WS Fed, et cetera, and find a library that does that. And eventually you find a library that will support one of these protocols and you'll be fine, right? That's the rule I personally follow to figure out what I should use for each library. And again, look at the code samples, they help. What if I have a console app? Again, I don't have a UI. I need to write an automated test. I need to automate a test of my website. I need to simulate a user, but there is no UI. I'm not going to launch a browser view for the user to type the credentials and then move on. How can I simulate that? How can I authenticate a user and move on without a UI? Turns out Adele, that same library I just mentioned, it has this option that we call headless auth, where I have a user credential object where I can really put username and password, right? Authenticate and get access tokens. Keep in mind, this is for automated tests, console apps, PowerShell. This is not for you to go and figure out a custom authentication UI, put some custom text, but that's exactly the thing I just told you to not do. Don't use it to do that. Because first of all, it's not going to work. You will run into problems. And second, it brings back the whole series of problems I just discussed, right? We don't want code having access to username and passwords, right? Let's go play with troubleshooting then. So how much time? Oh, great, good. We're on time. So let's look at the first scenario. Let me just log on here and switch to my box, which is this. Okay. So I have one application here. It's basically ASP.NET. And actually, what I'm going to do is launch a private session because I want to clear all the cookies, make it easier. And I'll try to log on. And I'll type my credentials, if I remember. I think that's it. Yeah. Cool. And I got an error. Okay. What is this? So it's saying the reply address, which is the address of my site, does not match any reply addresses configured in this application. What does it mean? Let's see. When my application sends the browser to Azure AD to log on, it's telling Azure AD, hey, when you finish your plumbing there and you authenticate the user, send the browser here. In this case, my website, where the user was before. Right? That's the reply address. And this is sent to Azure AD. So if I look at the, let me go back here. If I look at the URL, and here we go. The redirect URI, that's it, right? That's your client application telling Azure AD. When you finish logging on the user, send the user there. That's fine. That's the right URL. That's where my application is running. But Azure AD is looking at it and say, nobody told me this would be the URL for this app. So I will assume it's someone trying to fish this, trying to steal, pretend to be your app and deceive the user, and I'll just block it, right? How do we fix that? So what we'll do is, let me close this. I will take this URL that we used here. I will go to my application configurations, which in this case is this one. And I can tell this is the right application, not because it's called scenario one, but because the client ID matches my client ID. So that's how I can be sure, oh, this is the right one, right? And what I will do is say, well, let's see the reply URLs. And I can see, indeed, that URL is not here, right? So what we do is say, actually, this is OK. You can reply. And you can have multiple. That's OK, right? That's not a problem. We'll save that. We'll run this again. And let me create a new in private session just to see if that works. And logging. Takes a while. User. And it works. So we fixed that, right? Reply URL, that's what it is. That's what it means. When you see that in an error, it's a good hint that you know what's broken there. Let's move on to the next problem. So yeah, that's how I fixed it. 404 after login. That's similar to what I just did before. So let me open my other sample here. Sample number two. And that's this. Very common problem, right? I launch my app. Try to log on, sign in, put my username, password, and boom, 404. What happened here? Well, if you look at Fiddler, you see that you did the logon, everything went fine, and then you're trying to open this address, right? Where is this coming from? Reply URL. So what's happened is that my second application here was configured with a redirect URL that doesn't exist, right? I'm sending the browser to a page that is nowhere. So what I do here is fixing that. I can say, well, instead of going to this, I can go to this, right? Because I know that page exists, that URL exists, and that's how I fix it. Right, so the logon worked. I can see the access token being returned. I can see all the plumbing happening. But then the browser is just being told to go somewhere that doesn't exist. That's how you fix that, right? Third problem. Let's look at the third problem. So native apps. Let's talk about Windows 8 native apps. And by the way, same problems happen with iOS, Android, same thing, same logic.
what I'm going to talk about here. So this is a Windows 8 application that does the same, right? It will do exactly like I show in the little animation. I have a little browser. I'm using a Dell that puts a browser in your inside your application, and I will go and try to authenticate here. And what I'm getting here is saying, reply address, blah, 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 is not a valid URL. Wow, okay. And if I look at this, it really doesn't look like a valid URL. For Windows 8, that's perfectly fine. That's what Windows 8 does. It has this internal URL. So that's what the application keeps watching to say, oh, the authentication is done. Let's close this thing because we're done, right? Windows 8 expects to use this URI format, but that's not a URL. And the AD is saying, I don't know how to deal with this. And the reason for that here is that what happened was when you go to Azure AD and you create a new app and say, I want to create a new application, right? You have these two options, web application or native application. What I did wrong here is that I created a web application. A web application expects a reply URL that's HTTP something, okay? Now I say, no, I'm replying to MS app something. I say, no, that can't possibly be right. So what I will do is I will fix that by creating another application, which I already did, which is the 3B. So I see this is a web application, 3A. This is a native app, 3B. So that's I already did those. And this one is correct. It has the right settings. So what I will do is I will, in order to change it, I'll copy the new client ID that I'm using here, and I'll put in my app. And I have no idea where that is. It is here, right? And say, actually, now you are another app. From the AD point of view, I just told you are a completely different app now, right? And they'll try to run this again. And you ask for my username again. And you're good, right? Because for a native app, that's fine. So that's how you fix this. And don't worry, these slides will be available later. This is being recorded, so you guys don't have to worry about writing down every single thing I do here. So this next scenario four, is an interesting one. Okay, where am I? Okay, I need to just uninstall this app because otherwise it's gonna break my example, I think. Delete it. Okay, done. Right, let's do it. So I'll run this. Connect, all right, log on. All good. Then, so I'm authenticated, that's fine. Now I'm going to ask for an access token to this resource, right? I want to call this thing, so I need an access token for that thing. That's Adel. I'm using Adel here. So I'm trying to do that, and I got an error, right? And let's see if I get the error message here so you can see what's going on. Result, blah, blah, blah. So, oh God, that's terrible to read, right? Resource, blah, 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 is disabled. Your SharePoint site is disabled. So resource, in AAD terms, is the thing I'm trying to access. I'm asking a code so I can access that. In this case, SharePoint. And the answer from AAD is that SharePoint is disabled. What SharePoint is trying to tell you is this directory you're using doesn't have Office 365. I don't know how to give you access to a thing that doesn't exist, right? Either you don't have a license, it's a user that doesn't have a license, or you just don't have a subscription at all, right? The way you fix it is either getting a subscription, tying it to that directory, or moving to another directory. In my case, I often commit this mistake because I'm using the wrong directory. I have directories that have Office 365, others don't, so I'm using the wrong one, and that's how you fix it, right? It's basically saying, I don't know how to give you access to this. So there you go. Another interesting problem. Let me open that one here, and I can show you how to go with that one. So I did something stupid because every sample I have a Windows 8 app is using the same app ID. And so every time I have to go and install, otherwise it will break my demos. Very smart. Anyway, there you go. Run it. Log on. And now we got a different, similar, but different error. So your client application is asking access to resource, blah, 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 blah. So everything in Azure AD has this ID number. It's your unique identifier for the AD things, right? And in this particular case, I'm saying this particular thing you're trying to access, it's failed because, the client has not specified this resource in this required resource access. What does it mean? Your application is trying to get an access token for something. And this application is not configured to use that thing. I should have configured this application to use that thing. How do I go find out what's broken here and how I fix it? So let's look at this application. First, let's find out what's the client ID. This is my client ID, right? So this is the scenario 5. So if I go to my scenario 5, this is the app. And these are the things my app is allowed to call. My app, I'm giving the permission for my app to talk to Azure AD and nothing else. But I'm asking for permissions to call, resource ID. So I was here when I did it. There you go. I'm trying to get an access token for this. What is it? I don't know what is this. Let's go find out what this is. So I go to Azure AD. I go to search applications that my company owns. I will paste this ID here. I'm trying to access this web application. It's probably a web service that's secure somewhere, right? And they're trying to get an access token for it. It's called test app. And indeed, that's not authorized for this application. So what I would do is I will go to my, clear this, unfilter. I will go to my scenario 5. I'll go to the configurations, and I'll say I need to access a application called test app. Test app, add, okay, delegated, okay, let's try again. There we go, click, add, okay, don't close it, okay, save it. And now we're saying, that's fine, this app can do that. It can get an access token for it. So let's try to run it again. Okay. Let's try to call this. And if I didn't do anything wrong, it's all good. No errors. That's how my application now is allowed to use other things. Same. I would do exactly the same if I wanted to give it access to Exchange Online, if I wanted to give it access to OneDrive for Business or something else, right? You have to preset that as a permission for your app. So your app, don't try to be smart and go do things you never thought it was allowed to do, right? Let's keep moving. So resource identifier is not provided. That starts, I'm going up in terms of complexity, in terms of problems, right? So you kind of, if you haven't noticed that yet. So this is a cool kind of app. This is a pure JavaScript, zero libraries, just JavaScript on a browser. Ah, nice, good. Yeah, crash it, nice. There we go. Okay. So this is a pure JavaScript. So John Shuchak, he showed that in the keynote on the second day, an application called the Graph API with just JavaScript and nothing else. You can do that. So this is how I'm doing the logon. I'm redirecting the browser to this login windows.net, saying this is my directory. I want to authenticate the user. This is my redirect URI manually. I'm not using any libraries whatsoever. And then this is how I get a token. So I want to get a token for this stuff here. So this is just one page. This entire solution is one HTML page and nothing else. I will run this. And let me put that in private mode so I don't mess with my cookies. And I'll try to run this code. So it will send my browser, go do the logon. And I got an error. Look at that. Invalid resource. Resource identifier is not provided. Again, what's a resource? It's the thing I want to access, right? It's the thing I'm trying to get access to. And it's saying, you're not telling me what's that. What's the resource you're trying to access? This is very common when you do exactly what I did. You custom build some authentication code instead of using the standard libraries, or you just forget a configuration, which is exactly what I did here. I'm asking for permissions, but I didn't say which resource. I forgot that variable. The variable was empty, right? I didn't say what I want. So Azure AD is saying, sure, tell me what you want, and I'll give you the access token, right? If you don't tell me, I can help you, right? That's what it's saying. So, there you go. Can't recognize username and password. Let's see if I can find this example here. That's a cool one as well. That's scenario 7. And that's a web application. That's the one. Let's go run this. In private, put it here. Sign in. So the reason why I'm not even seeing a username and password in the box is because I didn't close my audit in private session. So AD is saying, I already know who you are. I already did the logon. I see your cookies. So I'm not going to ask. If I close all the browsers and start over, I'll see the username and password. So people get confused about it. So I didn't even type my password. So that's a good thing, because we try to not ask your password all the time, right? We already know you're logged in. We respect that. But in this case, it's saying, well, I don't know who you are, right? I can see you are authenticated. I see you are the user, blah, 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 blah. But you are from an external identity provider, right? You are from this identity provider, and this application can't understand who you are, right? Why is that? The reason for this problem is that for this scenario 7, I accidentally, so this is my directory. This is the directory I've been using for all these demos. This is where my user is, right? My user one is here. And the scenario 7 wasn't created in this directory. I actually went to this directory, and I created the scenario 7 there, right? It's here. So it is saying, I know this app. I know the user. They're in different places. And you didn't tell me it's okay to have them talking to each other. Either you want that app in the right directory, because this user is external to that other directory, or maybe what you're trying to do here is creating a multi-tenant app. A multi-tenant app is a typical solution for software as a services, right? You have your directory, you have an app, and you want customers from other organizations, other directories, to log on to your app from their directories without having to do the configuration all over again, one by one. If that's what you want, the way you solve this problem is going to your application, and you're going to say, this application is multi-tenant. When you do that, you're saying, sure, now the guys from whatever .com company that use Azure AD, they use Office 365 or something like that, those users can log on to my app, consent, and say, I'm fine using this app. And now I'm going to log on those guys that can access the resources from those directories. For example, if I build a new cool email client for Exchange Online, right? That's exactly what I would do. I would create a new web interface. I'll create this app. I'll make it multi-tenant. And I'll offer to anyone who is a subscriber from Office 365 to log on here and play with my new email client, right? That's how I would do that. The other option, if that's not what I want, is just go and create this application in the right place where the users are, right? Then it's a single tenant, only works in that directory, okay? So that's scenario 7. Scenario 8. Let me find scenario 8. Lots of broken apps here. Let's go. Scenario 8 is this one. Okay. Oh, yeah, that's right. So this is similar. This is also a pure JavaScript. I do this. The reason why I like doing this, like I would never do this in production because I don't want to custom build the whole authentication authorization code. Like there are libraries that do this better than I'll ever do. But I like to have a simple page like this because it's a great way of debugging a problem. I eliminate everything else. I take away all the other libraries, all the things that could possibly be part of the problem. And I can, with a simple JavaScript call, find out what's broken, right? And then I can go back to the real application and go fix it. It's an interesting way of debugging. So I'll call this app. Open this here. Same story, pure JavaScript, log on. User, you see that this time I closed all the browser windows, so now I have to log on again, right? It didn't say I want to save anything. And this error message here, it is saying, okay, application with identifier, blah, 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 was not found in this directory, ted1 on microsoft.com. So my directory is called, that my directory has this name, ted1. That's where my users are. That's where my applications are. I'm saying, application, go there and log on a user. So the application has its own client ID, right? It goes to Azure AD, say, this client ID is trying to log on the user. And Azure AD is saying, yeah, but I don't know this app. I don't have this app here, right? Reason is that when I say I want to log on, right, I have my tenant ID, ted1microsoft.com. I have my client ID. And it turns out this application does not exist here in this directory. So that's AD saying, where is this app? Like, it's not an app I know, right, in this directory. So I cannot authenticate it. And it's true, because for that scenario, which is the scenario 8, if I look at it, I won't find this client ID. Sorry, in the wrong place. I won't find this client ID here, right? I have other client IDs here, but I can see I jumped from, I don't have the 8 scenario there, right? I created it somewhere else, or maybe I even forgot to create it, or maybe my client ID is wrong. I didn't type it correctly. Right, so it's not finding the right app to log me in. That's the problem. How much time I have? Okay, good. So there you go. Just saying, app not found. That's the error, basically. Okay. Next one. So I try to put up a picture that represents scenarios that don't make sense at all. That's what I came up with. Like, it doesn't make sense. I think I achieved that. But anyway, these are the really ugly scenarios, that weird error messages that people say, like, what does it even mean? I don't even know what this is. So let's look at one of those scenarios. This is a pretty cool one. Scenario 9. So what this error message means, I have a ASP.NET application here. And I'll try to do a logon as well. I'll just sign in, Azure ID, put my password. Boom. Right? What is this? So what is the nonce? Nonce is a unique number that we use to avoid things like replay attacks. So what happens is, before my browser is sent to Azure AD to log on, I give the browser a cookie with a unique number. Then I say, off you go, browser, go log on to Azure AD. When the browser comes back, I go and ask if I had that cookie back to match the number. If I cannot match that number, or if that number doesn't exist at all, I cannot get the cookie back from the browser, I will show this. What this error means is, I cannot find the cookie in your browser that I gave you. Just a minute ago, something is broken here. And I will assume that's a replay attack, and I will stop you, right? What could be the cause of it? Anything that would lead a browser to not return a cookie back to the server. In this particular case, if I look closely to Fiddler, I will see that I'm accessing HTTP localhost, blah, 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 right? I know the logon actually happened. I know AD is happy with me sending me back to the application, so login is not the problem. But when I started this process, when I was here, I was in a HTTPS address. I did the logon, and I was redirected to a HTTP address. What the browser will do in this case, will say, no, I'm not giving you the cookie you gave me, because you're a different guy. I don't know you, right? And will not let me log on. So if I do a trick here, if I say, well, given if that's the case, what if I started with that other address? Like, what if I started with this address, which is the non-HTTPS address, and I try to sign in? I'm good, right? Because now I went back to the same place I started from. I got the cookie back from the browser. I know this is not a replay attack. We're all happy, right? Why I'm being sent to the wrong place? Reply address. So this is the scenario 9. If I look at my scenario 9 here, what I did wrong was saying that my reply URL, that's not here. Stop. Here. Right? I started from HTTPS, and I redirected to HTTP. That's what breaks it. Common cases, you just went from development locally to the cloud. Your host name changes. You forgot to change it there. You landed to the wrong place. Or HTTP to HTTPS, you're redirecting to the wrong guy. Another common case, well, not so common case, if you have an underscore in your host name, that breaks it. Don't ever, ever create host names with underscore. That's bad. That breaks a lot of stuff. Don't do that. The browser will refuse to send a cookie back when you do that. So there, anywhere where the browser will say, no, I'm not giving you this cookie again, right, will cause this error. Right? Make sense? So let's go on. Response type token. Let's get that one. That's a very nice one, too. I think that's the scenario. Let me close my Visual Studio here. No, don't save this. Don't save this. And that's the scenario 10. Scenario 10. This one. Launch the app. Put it here. Put the URL. Try to log in. So that's a single page application. single page applications are those stateful JavaScript things where everything stays in one page and all the logic is handled, all the navigation is done internally by the JavaScript. So this is an AngularJS app, right? And it happens that we have ADEL for AngularJS, which is great. It makes it easier. I try to log on here, user. Log on. Log on works. Great. Now what I would do is a course call. Course is when you go, I'm on this website, my JavaScript is going to call a secure web service on another website, right? In this case, I want to grab an access token, go to this other website, call a web service with that access token, get some data, and come back here and show it, right? It could be, I could be calling OneDrive for Business, listing my documents, and showing here. So if I call this, let's see what happens. Nothing happens. Why nothing happens? Oh, nothing happens because, what here I got? I think I'm running the wrong app. Let me see. I'm sure I've done something wrong. Oh, there you go. Response type token is not supported by the application. OK? So this is what we call, God, this is terrible. This is what we call implicit flow. My app now is telling Azure AD, I'm a JavaScript client. Instead of going to the server, and the server is going to get an access token and come back, I'm doing this from the client. I'm doing a course call calling Azure AD. By default, we don't let you do that, right? For security reasons, we by default, our setting is disabled. The way I enable an app to do this, this is the scenario 10. So I will go to my scenario 10 app, which is this one. And I have a manifest. Manifest is where all your deep settings in this app are saved, and some of them are not surfacing in the UI. So what I will do is I will download this manifest, open it here, right? That's my manifest. And what I will do is saying, I'm actually okay with implicit flow. That's fine. So I'll save this somewhere here that I can remember. Like here, save, replace. And now I will go back to my Azure AD and say, we'll upload this manifest back, get it from my thing here, which I think is this one, upload it back, save it, right? So AD now is fine with this new setting I just did. Let me close this all again, start over, close this, run the app, new instance, put it here, call it, log in. I'm getting really good at typing this username and password. Password. Try to call my web service now. Let's see what happens. It takes a little while. It takes a very little while. I think I'm doing something wrong because I think, oh, there you go. So he called and got me a 200 response saying, OK. Right? So problem solved. So whenever you have single page applications, you have to do this additional setting. Unfortunately, that's not surfaced in the UI. So we have to open the manifest settings and do that over there. OK? There you go. That's the setting. That's a very cool. That's my favorite problem. I like these problems. I think it's a lot of fun. This is the scenario 11. How are we with time? OK, 5 minutes. I'll try to rush a little bit. I think we have 13 scenarios, so we're close. So these are, I have a client and a server application, okay? They're both in different sites in Azure websites. So the client application is a JavaScript app that will do what I just did before, authenticate the user. Then via JavaScript, I will do a course call to my web service, and I will send a access token. The web service will authorize that and say, sure, you can call my stuff. Here's my data. All good. When you do that, every browser, every modern browser, when you try to do that, it will do a pre-flight. A pre-flight is an options request. Before I send anything secure to this other domain, I will go call this other domain, and I'll ask, are you expecting me to call you and send private user data, this access token? Like, was you ever configured to do that? Or am I more likely to be in some cross-script injection attack here? And this website will reply, say, yeah, sure, I'm expecting calls from you. Go ahead, right? That's the options request. And the options request is anonymous. I'm not going to send anything private to that site before I'm confident I should do it. So the options request has no cookies, no authentication info, nothing about the user, right? Before that website says, sure, go ahead. What happens in this case is that the web server is replying with a 302 and saying, go login first. And that makes absolutely no sense, because that's exactly the point. I will not give you any login information before you tell me it's fine. You should never reply with a 302 saying, go login, right? It doesn't make sense. So let's try to repro that. Let's see if I can repro that here. I'm not exactly sure if I configure this one right. So let's go find out. This is my scenario. I have an Azure website here, and God, which one was it? It was the course client 3. I don't know if I have it here. Sorry. Scenario 11. That's scenario 11. Oh, there you go. All right. So maybe that's going to be fine, hopefully. I will call this thing. I will put this here. That's scenario 1 client. I will log in. And actually, I will enable F12 so you can see that happening. User. That one. Log on. Ah, that's the wrong one, is it? Oh, God. Yeah, OK. So this is the same error I showed you before, right? Reply address is wrong because I'm not supposed to call this thing. And that's because this was configured to be run on the client. That's fine. I forgot about that. So let's open those two applications, that scenario 11 client, which is this one, and scenario 11 server, which is this one. Sorry, I don't remember how I set these things up, so I always do that. Actually, I think it was right. OK, I'm not sure anymore. Anyways, I might not be able to. I'm pretty sure it's configured correctly. Let me go to the solution first. I messed up with the configuration here somehow. I'm pretty sure this was the right thing. The reason why we get this error is when you configure your web server, so this is my server, right? Scenario 11 server. It's an Azure website. When you configure the Azure website, you have this super cool setting called Easy Auth. And if you imagine you built a site that it has zero authentication code in it. You don't, it's anonymous. And you want to make sure only your authorized users are able to, from your directory, are able to use the site. You have two options. One is code all of that, put the right libraries, make sure it's all set up. The other option is you can go to the Azure website and do this, right? You say, just make sure it's locked down for my users in my Azure AD. And what this does, it puts another layer in front of your website that will make sure all the calls are authenticated, no matter what they are. Your website will never see a request if it's not authenticated. And that makes a lot of sense until you do a pre-flight, because this thing will block the pre-flight as well. It wasn't meant to be used in that way. The way you fix it is undoing this. Sorry, removing this. And doing your proper coding with OWing, OpenID Connect, whatever library, whatever platform you have, to make sure
you validate the token. So you cannot rely on the easy auth for this kind of scenario. Otherwise, you keep blocking the options request. That's the solution. Sorry I couldn't wrap it here. I messed up with something. I have the samples online if you guys want to look at it. So there you go. You remove the easy auth, and that's how you fix it. The mysterious case of AutoLogoff, that was a great case. That's one of the best developers I know. So this happens with pretty much everyone, honestly. It just happens. He built an app, and he was struggling for hours because what happened was he was trying to log on. I'm almost done. Honestly, I have just one more example, and then we're done. He has this app here. And he does the log on. Did I open the right one? That's the 12, right? Yeah. Okay. He logs on. And let me put it here because otherwise you guys won't see it. User. Log on. All great. And log off. I just did log on. And I just lost my session. What is going on here? And if you look at the Fiddler, you see that after the log on, I go back to the site. And then for some reason, I go back to Azure AD to the logout page. What this means is that this site is somehow deciding to send the browser to go log off. It's something on the site. Why am I going to? The browser won't go to log out automatically, right? Something the site is saying, go there and log off. And he struggled this for hours until we sat together and we searched, okay, so let's think about it. The site is telling the browser to log off. So let's search for wherever in this site where let's search for the entire solution. Let's search for logout, right? So you have here, okay, if you click in this button, you log out. This is an AngularJS app, so that makes sense, right? That's okay. And there's a bunch of stuff here in the Angular that we don't care. Adel, we don't care about this stuff as well. And oh, look at that. So this is an event that Adel gives you that triggers when logging succeeds. And what they did accidentally, that wasn't the intention, was let's bind the logout method to this event. So what's happening is, yay, you log in, let's log out. Right? And super simple problem, but people can spend hours trying to figure this out. It happens, right? It's part of life. Okay? So, last one, this was also another one that took several hours and is one of those super simple problems. I will just open the code, I won't run it so we save time. So, we have a client JavaScript application and a web service, right? And when you try to log on, you get an error saying your audience is rejected. I don't accept your audience. And audience is a setting to validate, is this access token coming from the right place? Did we authenticate the application the right place? Right. So what happens was everything was configured properly. So I have my AdelJS configured to call the web service to get the right token. I have everything set correctly here. On the web service, everything's fine too. When you look at my web config, my audience is set correctly, my client ID is fine, everything is fine, and it keeps getting audience rejected. When you search the code, we found out that somewhere... Oh, God, sorry. Let me go back. So that's the client. That's the client. That's AngularJS with Adel. So that's I'm telling... I'm going to call this secure endpoint. That's my client ID. I'm calling this endpoint, right? That's my web service. And it has some web configs here saying, this is my audience, this is my client ID, this is my tenant, right? But for some reason, they messed up with this setting. This is where you go to OWIN and say, I'm going to validate tokens from Azure AD. And instead of reading the audience setting, which is this one, they are reading the client ID, which is this one. And this value, turns out, is different than this value. So we are not doing anything with this. right?
Two ways of solving this. One is either saying, well, so my audience is the client ID, not that value that will work. The other way of solving this is say, well, this is actually my audience, so let's go fix this setting, and it will work. Common calls for this as well is when you publish your application to a website, and your web config gets cleared out because you're using the debug settings, so that doesn't go to the website. And now you have to go to the website and manually set those values, and you forget to do that with some of those settings. So it goes blank or doesn't match. So everything works. You can open this access token. You can see the values. Everything looks fine, but the web service keeps rejecting that, and because those values are not matching. Make sense? So those are pretty much the scenarios I had to cover today. I hope you had fun. If you have more questions, feel free to reach out to me. So I had my Twitter on there. My email is my first name dot my last name at microsoft.com. Happy to help you guys out with whatever questions you have. Thank you very much.